Merry almost Christmas. 4 days, guys. Everybody, I'll ask you again, have your shopping done? I thought we were done, and then I was informed by my wife. I just assumed she did everything. I assume she does everything. I don't know what's going on. But my father and my grandmother, my dad's mom, and a great aunt, I still have some shopping to do. My Monday through Wednesday are really busy, so they're going to enjoy whatever they get from like Casey's or Dollar General, and that's not even a joke. They'll be very thankful. So, well, guys, we are in week four of our series, Do Christmas Different This Year, and we spent 3 weeks kind of reminding us to keep Jesus at the focus of our lives, and especially at Christmas time, and we have our fourth and final one today, and it's my favorite message. I just love it. I have a present for all of you this morning. The last 3 weeks, we've had 3 points and 3 ways every week about how to do Christmas different this year. Merry Christmas. We have 4 today, so you get a whole extra point. You're all excited, I can tell. But we are going to, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in several passages. I'm going to read from Matthew in just one moment. But we are going to, of course, read the Christmas story this morning. And I have help this morning. If you guys don't know this, if maybe you're a guest here, I need lots of help. And I have help this morning with reading the Christmas story. But this young person has got me beat because I would read it from my Bible, but she has got it memorized. And so we're going to be blessed with one of the young people from our church coming and reading us the Christmas story this morning. Not reading, reciting. You ready to roll? All right.
Luke 2:1-20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged in the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. The time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The shepherds live now in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks that night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they're terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news and great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed with the shepherds that said to them, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, which is just as they had been told.
Good job. Hey, Keith, I'm getting ready to do Revelation chapter 1. You have that memorized? You want to come up? And no? Okay. Just checking. That is so great. Just when I think I'm spending enough time in the Word, Taya did that Wednesday night for the kids at Awana. It was just wonderful. Well, today, guys, that's it. We're going to talk about the Christmas story. We're going to talk about Jesus. This is really our Christmas Sunday. Hope all of you can make it out at your convenience Thursday night to take communion together as a family, or if you're just coming by yourself, I'll be here a lot of that time. So, but today we're going to talk about Jesus and Jesus coming to earth, Jesus coming and being born. When they came, there was no room for them where? At the inn. I want to talk about that innkeeper for a second. You guys ever thought about that? Who would turn a pregnant woman away on Christmas Eve? Oh, he didn't know it was Christmas Eve. That's right. You say, "I would never do that. I would never turn a pregnant woman away. Here they are. They're coming." But they probably didn't look like much to this person at the inn, which probably wasn't really necessarily like a hotel like we would think of. But you think, "I wouldn't do that." But you guys know that so often you and I turn Jesus away in our life. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, surrendered your life to Him, you've rejected Him and turned Him away to this point, but He still loves you and He still wants to be your Lord and Savior. But even us as Christians, we so often miss Jesus in our life, don't we? Because we expect things to be a certain way. This Christmas season, I encourage you again to not miss the present that is the Messiah being born over all the presents. There you go. The birth of Jesus is the most miraculous, holy, sacred event in human history. But the innkeeper was there, but he missed it. And so many at the time missed it as he lived his life and as he did his miracles, etc. And all throughout history, people have missed Jesus to this day. And some of you right here today are maybe missing Jesus in your life because, like the innkeeper probably was, we can be too busy or preoccupied or stressed or tired or focused on our life that we can miss Jesus. And this Christmas season, again, don't put so much emphasis on the gifts as the emphasis you put should be on the gift, which is Jesus, the Savior of all mankind, and hopefully of your life. This year, we're staying home. We normally go down south to spend Christmas with family. We're going to stay home and do Christmas this year up here. We're going to, Christmas Eve, our family has a big thing, and there's lots of great food and traditions, but we, the last 2 years, haven't got to come to communion. And so we got convicted this year that, hey, you know, our church family should be every bit, if not more important, than our natural family. And so we're going to stay and do communion. I'm very excited about that, but I hope that your church is a big priority in your life, and if you're around, you guys will come and take communion together. So, now today I promised you a present, four ways instead of three. So if you're taking notes, here we go. And if you're not, I encourage you to, because four simple ways today to see Christmas as it was intended. And this is just, again, this stuff is year-round. It doesn't just have to be Christmas. But this first point is something that we do so often is, number one, is to don't be so preoccupied with your world and your life that you miss Him. Boy, is this what we do. Yes, I'm a Christian, but then we get so preoccupied with living our life that we truly miss being in an intimate relationship with Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit leading our lives. The fact that Jesus came as Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 1:23 says this. I think it's on the screen. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Do you ever just think about the fact that God is with you? Now, if you're ever going through something, you love the verse, He'll never leave us or forsake us, right? But God is with you. Jesus came so that He could be and dwell among His people. And when He left and was resurrected and went back to heaven, He left us His Holy Spirit. He, as a believer, you have that. He is with you. And so I want to ask you this day to not miss the fact that He, Jesus, He's with you all the time. And I want to challenge you with this. What would you do differently in your life? How would life look different if you grasped the concept, because it's true, and really believed and understood when you leave this building today and you get in your car and you go home and you go to work and you go watch TV and you go live your life, He's with you. That's challenging, isn't it? That's comforting, but it's also challenging. If you're here today and you are a Christian, but maybe you've gotten into sin, you're living in sin, and you've got some stuff in your life, and God understands that He loves you, but you've got to realize He's with you. It's such a thing that we celebrate that God is with us, but it's really a challenge as well. He's with you. How different would your life look, and how much more joy would you have if you just grasp the concept and we're able to step back and not be so busy in life and say, God is with me. This is powerful. What about Christmas? What about Christmas morning? Now, if you're like us, our youngest will be up at like 4, so we won't be able to do it before our presents, but maybe after. You guys celebrate birthdays with family members, with kids, grandkids. You do that, right? You want to make sure, if possible, and be together on your birthdays. Well, we celebrate Jesus' birthday, Him coming to earth in the flesh, God Himself. And so maybe Christmas morning, spend some time with them. Spend some prayer time. Wish Him happy birthday. Say, thank you for coming for me, for dying for me, for your so many blessings, for your grace, for your forgiveness in my life. And if you're going through something right now, thank Him anyway. The Bible says, in all things give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done, what you're going to do. Thank you. And just spend some time with Him on His birthday. Don't be so caught up in all the Christmas stuff that you miss spending time with Jesus. And do it as a family. Again, read the Christmas story. Make the day about Him. He wants you to open presents and have a big meal. That's wonderful. He's good with that. But spend some time with Him. Don't get so caught up that you miss spending some time with Emmanuel, God with you. That's why he came. God is with us. No matter what situation you're in life, he's with us. That is so incredible. It's so easy to take for granted. But step back from life. Don't be so busy and caught up that you miss that. Number two, this goes right along with that. This is for everybody. If you've never given your life to Jesus or you're not living for him, I can tell you what you are. You're set in your ways. You think life is fine. You don't need to change anything. You're rigid. You're kind of stuck in that. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, we can get so rigid and caught in our ways that we miss the joy of living with Jesus, the joy that God is with us, the joy that he loves us, the joy that he forgives us, that we are co-heirs to eternity, that he knows the number of hairs on our head, that God himself came to earth and lived and died for you. So our second point is don't be so rigid and don't be so set in your ways that you miss God's flexibility. You guys know God is very flexible. Now I know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's never changed. But he has a way of doing things that, praise his name, are a lot better and a lot different than ours, right? God is infallible, we are fallible. He is love, we struggle with that. He is perfect, he has no pride, he has no sin. God doesn't have a religious thing. God's not a denomination. He doesn't get caught up on the stuff that we get caught up on. He's God, he is perfect. He also says in Isaiah, he reminds us that his ways, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Again, we are simple flesh. We live in tents. We live in a fallen world, in a sinful world, in sinful flesh. And, you know, we use 10, 11, 12% of our brain. God is just so perfect and so much bigger and better and wonderful than we could ever be. But what do we think? We think that we know best. We think that we want to be in control of our lives. And so this Christmas and always, don't miss God because you're so inflexible and you're caught up in how things should be. And that's true at Christmas. This is what we do at Christmas. Well, if you've never made Jesus the point of your Christmas, start now. If you've gotten away from him being the point of your life, get back to it. The Christmas story, I think, is very representative of this. The Christmas story, the religious people at the time, what were they looking for? The Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior. They were looking for a king. And so they expected him to come with pomp and circumstance. They expected him to have a palace, to be a king, for it to be a royal event. Here's Jesus coming to the earth. The skies will split. Here it comes. And what happened? Pregnant teenage girl, born in a barn and laid in a feed trough. The Messiah, God in a body. The Word become flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus' first manger didn't look as good as that one. It was likely a feed trough. That's how God does things. And I think so often we miss him calling us, him forgiving us, him working in our lives, him calling us forward to holiness, to better things, because we're so stuck in our ways. It's our human nature. Israel was so used to being slaves when things changed for the better, but then started to go a little the way they didn't think that it should. They wanted to go back to Egypt, didn't they? Man, that's what we do. I'd rather live my life. I'd rather just be a slave. I don't want God's best or victory. You know, we don't trust the God of all creation. We don't trust Jesus, the risen Savior, because we're so stuck in our ways and we're so inflexible oftentimes. We think that things should look a certain way. We pray and the answer is not what we maybe think it should be. Life can just happen and we blame God or we run from God. And we live in ways that are contradictory to God's Word and we rationalize how it's okay. Because we're so stuck in our ways. Don't be stuck in your ways this Christmas. Understand that he came for you and he loves you. And he calls us to love others, which is our third point today, is as Christians, as God's children, don't turn anybody away this Christmas. And really, again, this is applicable to our life all the time. The innkeeper turned Mary and Joseph away. If they would have thought that the Messiah, that God was with this woman and was in her belly, he probably would have given them somewhere to stay. Hebrews 13:2 tells you and I to not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And God calls us to love everyone. But so often, here's what we do. We look and we label. This person is a drug addict. They've They're lazy. They're homosexual. They've got a drinking problem. They did this 7 years ago. You got. I'm not chastising you because we all struggle with it. You come into church and see people and think that's so and so. Yep, I know what they're like or what they did or what they didn't do. And he's telling us, stop that. To love and accept everybody. Now, I know we don't accept things that are sinful or outside of God's word or ways, but don't turn anybody away. Because there's some people in our family, workplaces, you just dismiss them. Be honest, you do. And he's saying, don't do that, because Jesus came to a messy world, a sinful world, to save a sinful people like you and I. And so we should love everyone and not turn people away. When we know people that don't know Jesus, we should be willing to do something about it. I will challenge you again. You know, we hung these up last year. What have you done with the names? And some have come down, praise God. But if you weren't here last Christmas, we hung these names up of people we knew that didn't know Jesus, that were going to hell, not heaven, that weren't saved, that don't come to church. And some have come down. But if you hung a name up last year, how much have you prayed for them over the last 365 days? Over the last year? Have you fasted for them at all? Have you skipped a meal or two or given up some caffeine or Facebook? Does their salvation matter enough that you've done something about it? Have you prayed for them, invited them to church? And if not, I challenge you again, why not? Why not? Are you willing to do something for them? Because look at what Jesus did for us. Don't turn anybody away. You are called to love people. But so often, what are we? We're too stressed. We're too busy. We're too preoccupied. We got too much going on to give the time to the kingdom work, to what Jesus wants us to do. And so we miss out. And our fourth and our final point this morning is the final way that we don't miss Christmas, and this is my favorite one, is to not ignore strangely wrapped gifts. Think about the gift of Jesus Christ. What a strangely wrapped gift. Pregnant teenager, middle of nowhere to some extent, in a barn, laid in a feed trough. What a strangely wrapped gift for the salvation of all human history and all humankind. Don't ignore strangely wrapped gifts. Let me make a couple points about this. I have a great aunt. My grandma had cousins, and they were never married. Or excuse me, never had kids. They were married. They were older. They're not here anymore, so I can talk about them. So they never had kids, and they were always around at family events on the Mobley side. Their names were Helen and Herman. They were wonderful. But I had a brother, and then on the Mobley side, we had three cousins. They were girls, and we were normal kids. Okay. So what Helen and Herman would do most years is they would give you a pair of socks for Christmas. It's okay to laugh. It's good. And what my parents and my aunt and uncle realized with their kids is, after a couple of years, they had to give us the talk about getting the socks. Because, let's be honest, I think about my son Isaiah, who's six. If he got a pair of socks on Christmas, he wouldn't be able to fake it very well. He's like, socks? This stinks. I don't want these socks. And he'd probably throw them, you know, he's a lefty. So we had to get the talk, be thankful for the socks, be appreciative for the socks, right? That was a strangely wrapped gift that was just a pair of socks. There was nothing better to it. But I tell that story to tell this, because we've had to train our kids. On my mom's side, I have a grandma, and she, about 30 years ago, decided she was never going to shop again. And she stood with it, especially for birthdays, Christmas, whatever. She was raised in the Depression, okay? But so what she does at birthdays and Christmas, and at Christmas, she just writes you a check. All right, and you know, usually it's generous, it's wonderful, whatever. And so, but since she quit shopping 30 years ago, your check would usually come like jammed into a McDonald's French fry box, or a pair of pantyhose, or you know, like an old piece of cardboard something. And so we've had our kids. It's so funny. The first, you know, you see them get this gift from grandma, they're like, "What is this? I don't, you know, oh thanks," and then "Oh thanks." And so, strangely wrapped gift is my point, okay? And that's not my best example of a strangely wrapped gift, I promise. So we're going to be better than that today. But my point is, you just don't really know for sure. And so I have to understand that God's ways sometimes means, His way means that strangely wrapped gifts are good. Look at how Jesus came to earth. And guys, this is applicable to our life. I can look back at so many things in my life. Some maybe I caused them, some just happened. Boy, were they gifts that I had to go through certain things. I had to suffer certain, I had to endure certain things. The Bible says, count it all joy when life happens. That's a paraphrase. Because it increases your faith. It can bring you to Christ. It can bring you back to Him. Count it all joy when you struggle in your finances, your health, your marriage, whatever it is. Count it all joy because what you're going through is nothing compared to what God has in store for you. Life itself is a strangely wrapped gift, is it not? We're born and we die. We suffer in childbirth. In this world, there are troubles. These bodies decay. They're tents. They're temporary homes. Life itself is a strangely wrapped gift. It can go great and it can be tough at times, but life itself is a strangely wrapped gift. Jesus came to earth strangely wrapped. And so often we reject Him because we're stuck in our ways. We're rigid. We're unflexible. But we must remember that you just never know what God has in store. And I want to tell a story this morning. And I think it's so representative of us in our relationship with God. I'm going to tell a story I heard this week. It was so powerful. A story of a young man and his father. And the father, I think, represents the Lord so well. And we do and act and are just like this young man so often with God. There was a young man. He was an only child. His father was an incredibly successful businessman. When he was in high school, his mother got sick and died. And it left the young man very, very bitter because he didn't have a great relationship with his father. His father just worked all the time. So the young man is bitter. He doesn't have a good relationship with his father. He goes off to college. And as he goes off to college, he goes for 4 years, and the whole time he has nothing to do with his dad. Who's paying for it? But he doesn't care. He's angry at his dad. He misses his mother, and he's just bitter and wants nothing to do with his father. So finally, his senior year at college, this young man begins to come around a little bit, and he phones his father and says, "Hey, Dad, I'd like to maybe get together." So the father's so excited. They meet, and they're having dinner, and across from the restaurant where they're having dinner is a car dealership, and this young man sees, and they walk over there, and he falls in love with this red BMW convertible. Who couldn't fall in love with that, right? And he tells his dad, "Dad, this is what I want for my college graduation. I want this red BMW convertible." Now, to the father, that's no amount of money whatsoever. This man is extremely successful. He can do just about whatever he wants. So the young man begins to drop hints and tell people he knows and tell friends and family and, you know, people back home, "Hey, make sure and let Dad know this is what I want." So graduation happens and he graduates and he goes back home. And he hasn't been home in years to visit his father. And his father says, "Son, I have something for you." And they go into the father's study. And the young man's so excited because he knows he's going to get what he wants, this red BMW convertible. Instead, the father pushes this package over to him, and the son's like, "That is a strange-looking package. I don't know what that could be." He begins to open it up, and he sees that it's a Bible. And the son, in disgust, remember, the kid's spoiled. The son, in disgust, pushes it back at his father and says, "What are you giving me a Bible for? Because I don't need a Bible, Dad. I want the car. Did people not tell you? Did I not tell you I wanted this red BMW convertible?" The kid's like, "I got life to live. I've got my job lined up. I don't need a Bible. You got to be kidding, Dad." And the kid starts to storm away. And as he's storming away, the dad says, "Son, wait. Don't you want to even see what I wrote for you in the Bible?" And the son's like, "Dad, I don't have time for this." And storms out. Years go by. Never talks to his father again. Uses his father's name to achieve success. Doing really well in life. Gets married. Doesn't invite his dad to the wedding. He's bitter. Dad's, he's got all the money in the world. Wouldn't even buy me a car. They get married, they have their first child, they have their second child. A decade or so goes by. Finally, he decides, "You know what? I think I want to reconnect with my father." He's used his father's name to achieve success. He calls his dad, and his dad is like, "Son, I'm so happy to hear your voice. I've missed you so much." And he tells him about his grandchildren, and he's so excited to meet his grandchildren. He can't wait to meet his father. So they arrange, they're both very busy, they arrange a meeting. 2 days before they're to meet, the son gets a phone call that his father has dropped dead of a massive heart attack. This is a true story, by the way. The son is just filled with such regret and such remorse over the wasting of his life. His children never got to meet his grandfather. He's lived in bitterness all these years. He wanted to make right with his dad, but it was too late. So he being the only son, being the only heir, the estate starts to get settled, and finally they get through all of it. And he finally has to go back home. He hasn't been home in probably like 15 years. And he goes back home, and the moving people are there, and they're getting all the stuff. And he finally goes back to his father's study, where his father spent so much time. And he had never been there since that day, and he's clearing some stuff out. And he spies up on the shelf that package that fateful day when he was 21, 22 years old, he got and threw back at his father. He goes and gets it, and he opens it up, And he sees, of course, that it's a Bible. And he finally opens it after all those years to see what his father had written down for him in the bookmark. And it was a Bible verse. It was from Matthew chapter 7. And it said, "What man is there among you who asks, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" And guys, that's just us. God wants so much for you, but you've got to surrender your heart to him first. But what we do is we reject him because it's not our way. It's not time. I've got my own agenda and my own life to live. And so we reject God and we miss out on his best. This young man reads this verse and he starts to cry. And as he goes to put the Bible down, guess what falls out of the box? Set of car keys. And they say, BMW. So he goes out to his father's garage, and it's not a two-car garage like we would have. It's a big one. And sure enough, there at the back of the garage, covered up for all those years, was his car. It would have been his that whole time if he just hadn't rejected his father's love and if he just would have not stormed away. Guys, some of you today have stormed away from God with your life, and you know it. He just wants to bless you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you good things. He wants to give you eternal life. The Bible says if we will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these other things will be added. Would you guys stand with me and bow your heads and close your eyes? This young man's father had given him the very thing that he wanted, but he wasn't willing to listen to his father. My friends, one of the greatest things about Christmas, the only thing that matters about Christmas, is the gift of Jesus Christ, and that you not miss him.